Scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and I'll be reading verses 9 and 10. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorrow, but that ye sorrowed it to repentance, for ye were made sorrow after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Dennis, it's all yours.
I'm glad to see everyone here on this cold winter morning. I certainly hope that all those folks that bought all that milk and bread will be able to eat it before it's all gone bad. But we're glad you're here. I know there's a lot of our number who cannot be here. I'm sure that where they live, the roads are pretty treacherous. But I'm glad that you all ventured out this morning to be with us. You know, sometimes our translations aren't helpful enough. We read a word like repentance, and we wonder sometimes if we have a clear conception of the meaning. We don't use it a whole lot in our conversations today. We are aware of the modern meaning of a word, that sometimes it may not convey the meaning of the original word. The word gay comes to mind when we use that today compared to what it was used 50 to 100 years ago. But this word, repentance, is a word that is essential to understand. Paul, in our text, associates it with salvation. In Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus, he said here, "Nay, I tell you, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, I think that verse is pretty clear, don't you think? No repentance, no salvation. Repentance and repent are used in pivotal passages such as Luke 24 in verses 46 through 47. And Jesus said, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." In Acts verse 2 and verse 38, chapter 2 and verse 38, where Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." But what if you don't understand it? What if you think that repentance is a feeling of sorrow? Well, you'd be wrong. What if you mistakenly think that it is good deeds? Again, you would be wrong. What I hope to do this morning is to show you, and using Bible examples, just what it is to repent. And then, when you truly examine yourselves, you ask yourself, have I truly repented? And hopefully this morning you'll know. In Matthew 12 and verse 41, Jesus here, speaking to some of the scribes, he said, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Now, if you look back and go back into the minor prophet Jonah, you know, sadly, what most people remember of Jonah is a fish. And that's sad, because the book of Jonah is not about a fish. The book of Jonah has much more importance than a fish. In the first two chapters, in the first two verses of chapter 1, it says that Jonah was to go to Nineveh to preach, to let them know that God did not like what they were doing, and that they were going to be condemned. So what happened to the people of Nineveh? Well, if you go down to the third chapter, you'll see. They heard the preaching of Jonah. They were challenged with the truth, and they came to an understanding that God condemned their lives. In chapter 3 and verse 5, it tells us that they believed God. Now, we don't know a whole lot as far as how they knew Jonah, or even if they did know Jonah. If he was just some guy that came in off the trail and just come in there and started talking. You know, maybe the boat that he was thrown off of, maybe they were headed there too. Maybe they got blown off course, and maybe they told of a man who got swallowed by a fish. Or maybe some way, shape, or form, Jonah had been confirmed as a prophet in another way. But the important part of it is that they changed because they believed what they were told. They went from pride to humility. And we can see this from the donning of a sackcloth down from the king down to the beggar, every single one. They went from satisfaction to self-denial. They fasted. They didn't eat. They didn't drink. Not only the people, but also their livestock. They went from idolatry to true worship, and from evil to righteousness. The temples closed their doors. The nightlife shut down. There was no drinking. There was no carousing. Peace had finally settled over the city. But in none of these points that I covered can you find repentance. Why? Because you can't see repentance, only its effects. Our scripture reading tells us that it is not godly sorrow. Matthew 3 and verse 8 tells us that it is not fruits of works. It says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And yet Jesus told us that the Ninevites repented. Let's use this as an illustration. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And the son answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Repentance is the difference between I will not and I will. Repentance is a change of mind and a change of will. So the Ninevites, having heard Jonah and believing God, changed their minds and then changed their lives. At the point of changing their minds, they repented. Now let's go to an old familiar parable, the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15. In verses 11 through 20. If you go and look in verse 10, you see the context of the parable is repentance. Now we probably know this parable better than we know our children's names sometimes. We've heard it so many times and in so many lessons and in so many classes. If you look down in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 17 tells us he remembered whence he befallen. In verse 18, we read that he made a determination. Verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And in verse 20, he brought it into action. He began his journey home, and when he arrived there, he confessed his fault to his father. So the question is, where did repentance come in? It didn't come in when he came to himself. It didn't come in when he started for home. It didn't come in when he confessed to his father. It was at the moment that he determined to make the change that we read in verse 18. I will. Once again, there is a point after godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, and before fruits or good works, Matthew 3 and 8, where repentance is found. Since the day of Pentecost, God has proclaimed through the gospel that all men everywhere repent. Peter made that pronouncement in Acts 2 and verse 38. And Paul made that pronouncement in Acts 17 and verse 30. And at times of this ignorance, God winked at. And now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance, my friends, is the will. It is our will. If you ask yourself, and you must ask yourself, have I truly repented? I say this because this is the one thing that is such grave importance. Think back of maybe when you were baptized. What was the reason for that? Was it because you said, I will? Or was it because of peer pressure or emotionalism or pleasing parents or to get the girl that led you to that point? Or was there a moment in time when you determined that you were going to do things God's way? You know, oftentimes we use these lessons or we teach these classes on repentance to try to get to those who have not obeyed the gospel, but brethren, Christians need to repent too sometimes. We do find ourselves in sin. And we are commanded to repent. The great example to me, at least, to put this in perspective is Acts chapter 8. There was a Christian by the name of Simon. Simon believed, Simon was baptized for the right reason, but there was something that Simon saw that he wanted more than anything else. He wanted the power that the apostles had, because he knew that if he had that power, he could be rich. He could be popular. He could have anything he wanted. And so he asked the apostles for that power. But Peter said to him in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought in thy heart may be forgiven thee." You see, Christians sin. Christians need to repent also. This isn't just a one-sided issue. It is a complete issue. So with all this said, what is repentance? Now you might be thinking, well, if you'd have said this in the beginning, we'd be going home right now. Repentance is a change of mind and of will that follows godly sorrow and that is shown by the works of obedience. That is repentance. That is repentance. And having heard the call of the gospel, have you repented? It's always said that we are in control of our destiny. And that is true. But oftentimes when we talk about being in control of our destiny, we're only talking of temporary destiny. We're in control of whether we can be rich or poor. Oftentimes that's what us human beings think about as far as destiny goes. But there is a greater destiny that's coming. And every single human being, past, present, and future, are going to be headed to that destiny. And you're going to come to a fork in the road. Which one are you going to take? Now, Yogi Berra would say, if you come to the fork in the road, take it. But you're going to have to go left or right. You are in control of your destiny when it comes to eternity. You and you alone, no one else. And you cannot get on the right road. You are now at that fork in the road. Which one are you going to take? If you're not a Christian this morning, the ball's in your court. Repentance is an I will, a determination to do God's will. Will you make that decision this morning? We cannot delay. The time is coming. And just as the weatherman this week that said we're going to get 6 to 10 inches of snow, we don't know. We don't know when the hour comes, nor Christ. But Christ tells us in his parables that we're to be ready. Are you ready? If you're not a Christian and you want to make that commitment this morning, that I will, and be baptized for the remission of sins, we want to give you that opportunity this morning before it's too late. Control your destiny today. Take control. Take control. Know for sure where you will be when the Lord comes. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you are facing some things that you need to repent of. We want to give you that opportunity also this morning. So if anyone has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.